The audio edition of Universe Today. My guest today is an amateur astrophotographer named Tom Davis. Those of you who subscribe to the Universe Today newsletter should be familiar with his photographs, as I've featured several of them in the last few months. Tom is an amazingly skilled astrophotographer, and he's got some decent equipment. But I'm happy to inform you that the price for this kind of technology is getting more affordable than it's ever been. So if you've ever wanted to get into this hobby, maybe you'll get inspired by Tom. Before you start listening, please take a moment to look at his website at www.tvdavisastropics.com. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Universe Today.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Now, this is going to be one of those podcasts where I think people are going to want to sit in front of their computer or at some point and take a look at your photographs. So just to let everyone know, I'm going to have them point their browsers at tvdavisastropics.com. And so I recommend you get this up in your browser before you listen to the rest of the show, because it's going to be talking about astrophotos without looking at them is kind of like dancing about architecture, to steal a phrase. Now, Tom Davis, you've got just some amazing pictures, and you're an amateur photographer or astrophotographer out of Idaho. Can you explain the setup that you've got?
I have a dome. It's a clamshell dome in my front yard, and I live at the side of, on the side of a mountain at about 5,700 feet above sea level. And in that dome, the dome is a 7-foot dome, and inside that dome I have a pier, and on the pier is an astrophysics 1200 GTO mount, which is an outstanding mount. And on the mount, I have a couple different variety of setups. Currently, I have an astrophysics 155 EDF refractor. And on top of that, riding piggyback, is a astrophysics 105 EDF F6 traveler refractor. And I use the traveler as a guide scope. But the two cameras that I use predominantly are both made by the Santa Barbara Imaging Group, or SBIG, and one is the STL 11000M. That's the monochrome version. And then the other is the ST10 XME. They're both very sensitive cameras. They both do different things. Certainly the ST 11000 has a much wider field of view, and it's a anti-blooming gate camera, which means that the stars won't get those funny spikes that you oftentimes see. It's not quite as sensitive in the red spectrum, particularly hydrogen alpha, but it does a marvelous job nonetheless. And certainly the ST10 is sort of like one of SBIG's most sensitive and flagship cameras. So that's what I have. I have a computer in the dome. It sits on a little shelf. And it's the computer that I have it on a wireless, a Netgear wireless system. And I actually, when I image, I sit in my kitchen, and I have a laptop in there, the one I'm actually looking at right now. And I can, through the wireless network using real VNC, run the telescope and everything just from inside my house. So it's awfully nice in the winter.
I was about to say that. It must get pretty cold there at that altitude.
It's very cold at this altitude, but it's, everything runs fine. I mean, people who live in really cold climates oftentimes worry about, gee, is my mount going to run, or is my camera going to run, or is it going to hurt my telescope? And the answer to that is absolutely not. With some very simple precautions, everything runs great. Even I've been imaging even down to minus 20 degrees outside. So,
what kind of investment have you put in to get yourself to the level of equipment that you've got today?
Well, this hobby obviously can require a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars, and certainly that's where I am at with this investment. However, for people who want to just start imaging with CCD, the cameras nowadays are, many of them are so affordable and far better than the CCD cameras that I first started out with, that Literally, they can get very good images for a couple thousand dollars. Even simple telescopes, such as just a simple refractor, even if it's not one of the high-end ones, and a simple camera can give you very good images that a lot of people would just be absolutely delighted to take. So, yes, it's one of those high-end hobbies, and unfortunately, it does require a lot of money once you really get into it. But I highly encourage anybody, any amateur visual astronomer out there, if they're interested at all, now is the time to get into imaging, because the software is a lot better than it used to be. The mounts, the telescopes, and even the cameras are just phenomenal now. So
yeah, well, that's been my impression in seeing the quality of the astrophotos that amateurs are taking. It just seemed like in the last couple of years, the photos that have been sent in to me have just blown me away. And so what kinds of advancements have been made in the last little while that's made this so possible?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the understanding that to get really high quality images, you need to put a lot of time into your image. Unlike film, the film astro imager would take an hour, 50 minutes to 60 minute open shutter images, and then two or three of those, and then combine them. Well, in CCD imaging, you don't do that. Essentially, we take subframes, typically 5 minutes to 10 minutes to maybe 15 or 20 minutes at the most, particularly on narrow band filters like a hydrogen alpha. And you take a whole series of those, such as 6 or 7 or 10, and then digitally you stack them. In the past, we were just so thrilled with the images that we were getting, we were only shooting total imaging times of maybe an hour to an hour and a half. And those were great images. But one thing interesting about CCD imaging is the more time that you spend taking, in other words, more data, more photons you're actually registering, the better the quality of the image and the less noise that comes from the sky background. I think one of the main things that you've been seeing over these last couple of years is that most of us now don't image for the average object, let's say an average nebula, emission nebula. We really don't image anything less than 3 to 3.5 hours now. And so it's a lot of time, sometimes over multiple nights, but when you stack all that data, the noise really reduces quite dramatically, and then you start seeing these absolutely beautiful and beautifully detailed images. I think the other thing that has really advanced, at least amateur astro imaging with CCD cameras, is large diameter telescopes. Now, the largest I have currently is a 10-inch. I have a Takahashi BRC 250, which is a Ritchie Chrétien type of telescope. I haven't really imaged with it much because I've been doing mainly things with the astrophysics. But this winter, I'll start using the Takahashi. Well, as many people are aware, a lot of guys have Ritchie Chrétiens that are now 12 and a half or 14, 16. Even there's one guy that has a 32. You know, these are amateurs. That diameter of that aperture of telescope used to be in the realm of professionals. Well, now some guys have those size of telescopes. Unfortunately, that style of telescope, the optical design, is extraordinarily expensive, and so it really limits for just everybody to buy that. But those two things, I think, really are the main thing. And then finally, the camera technology. Really, the cameras, many of the chips are essentially similar to what we've had in the past, but now we have much larger chips, similar sensitivities, but they're much larger, like this STL. It's really opened up some beautiful vistas that we can take.
And do you find that your telescope and your imaging setup can now, I guess, contribute to science as well?
Oh, absolutely. The average amateur with a 6-inch telescope and a CCG chip can do phenomenal science. I freely admit that I am personally not a scientist, and I don't think that really my images are scientific quality. They like a certain type of data, but yes, the if you were taking images of galaxies, then certainly you can discover new supernova. We recently saw that in the Whirlpool Galaxy, an amateur discovering that. I've recently, this summer, taken a picture of M31 and was able to get on with my image and compare it to some of the images taken from the Palomar surveys of past, and I can actually pick out the Cepheid variables of M31 and globular clusters around M31 just off of my image with my 6-inch, you know, refractor. And, you know, if I wanted to do Cepheid variables from M31, I could actually do that. So, without question, there's even been a couple amateurs that have discovered new extrasolar system planets with small telescopes using the right software and having that right savviness to watch the data. So, absolutely, it's the amateur now is able to contribute to science, and many of the professional astronomers are going into collaborations with the amateurs, and so it's very exciting, not just pretty pictures, but you can actually get scientific worthy data.
Well, it sounds like a great time to be having this equipment and taking these kinds of photos.
Absolutely. It's a great time for everyone. Anyone who really wants to image, they can get in. You can get CCD cameras. Now, CCD cameras are expensive, but even you can get some used CCD cameras and just take very, very nice pictures and see more detail in a 60-second simple monochrome picture of, let's say, M42 than you can in an eyepiece if you just have an ordinary aperture telescope. So it is a very exciting time.
Well, Tom, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me, and I just want to promise the listeners and the Universe Today readers that I'll be showcasing more of your images as you keep sending them in, so keep going.
Appreciate it.
All right, well, thanks. Take care. Tom Davis spoke to me from his home in Idaho. Once again, the URL for his website is www.tvdavisastropics.com. Now, you can find more space and astronomy news on my website at www.universetoday.com. You can also send me questions and feedback to info@universetoday.com. And I've also recently merged my forum with Phil Plait's Bad Astronomy Bulletin Board. Our new mega forum is located at www.bautforum.com. If you're looking for a place to chat about space and astronomy with other enthusiasts, come check it out and join the conversation. Thanks for listening.